الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ثم أما بعد، anybody who's willing to answer the quiz the first hand, let's see. بسم الله. Don't disappoint me. Very basic. Shall I accept that? Well, that's one thing, actually. When you say two parties or two people, what do you mean by that? How about man and man? You see? It lacks one very important definition. You missed it. Sorry about that. Okay, I need someone else to count five of the seven purposes of marriage. Yes, sister. Jazakallah khair. Takbir. Don't share it. Bismillah. Protecting oneself from evil, which means in the pursuit of virtue. Different categories of marriage. I say we're going to talk about it when we come to marriage, inshallah, the contract. The rules of betrothal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي مَا عَرَّضْتُمْ بِهِ مِنْ خِطْبَةِ النِّسَاءِ أَوْ أَكْنَنْتُمْ فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. And that's a translation of the ayah. There is no blame on you if you make an offer of betrothal, and that's the word khitbah in the Arabic language. Khitbah, not khutbah. The difference between khitbah and khutbah, khutbah with a dhamma, it's the speech that the khatib gives on Jum'ah, Friday. And khitbah is the offer of betrothal. When we speak about it in English, actually, different books of different fiqh, you know, they say engagement, some they say proposal, and so on. The definition of the engagement is a little bit different than the engagement in Islamic law. Because in engagement, when you say engagement, it's almost like a contract, according to Islamic definition. But in the English language, engagement, it doesn't necessarily have to be under a contract. It's just, you know, being engaged, like also the khutbah. So what we're going to try to use, inshallah, if we use those terminology, different words, betrothal, engagement, proposal, we're talking about the same thing. Talking about the same definition, the same thing, which is again the offer of betrothal. And what is the definition for that, inshallah ta'ala? We'll be covering all those rules, inshallah, one at a time. And starting with the first, engagement and proposal, the definition. What is the definition of al-khitbah? And I'm going to dictate that to you, inshallah ta'ala. It's expressing one's desire. Expressing one's desire to marry a specific woman. As you see, this definition talks about a man expressing his desire to marry a woman. By informing her wali, it's expressing one's desire to marry a specific woman, by informing her wali, whether expressed directly from him or his representative. He's by proxy, he sends someone to speak on his behalf. So whether expressed directly from him, he goes and he speaks to her wali directly, or he sends someone to go and propose on his behalf. And there are other, of course, other definitions, but they all go around the same meaning. So as you see, khutbah says expressing. Another definition says it's a request. It's a request from a man to marry a specific woman. So request, expressing, and so forth. So it does not necessarily mean a contract. It's just to express one's desire. It just places the request and, of course, make an offer of betrothal. What is the legal status of the engagement, or the khitbah, in this case? Is it wajib, is it mustahab, is it haram, or what exactly it is? It's approved by the sharia, which means it's permissible. It is permissible to do so, to start with the betrothal. Usually, all marriages, of course, will start with that. Some of those proposals might extend to longer time, long period of time, you know, of waiting and just waiting for response. And some just takes probably a few hours and then immediately they go to the contract if they're ready and so on. But however, it's legally, it's approved by the Sharia and was made as an introduction. It was made as an introduction to marriage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in the Quran, in the ayah that we called for you earlier. وَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي مَا عَرَّضْتُمْ بِهِ مِنْ خِطْبَةِ النِّسَاءِ. There is no blame on you if you make an offer of betrothal. This ayah is in Surah Al-Baqarah, number 235. Also, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proves that. One time, Al-Mughir ibn Shu'bah, he proposed to a lady. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنَذَرْتَ إِلَيْهَا. And that shows you right now, which means, did you look at her? And that gives you the meaning of the betrothal itself, the offer itself. As an introduction to marriage, is that you go to introduce yourself to her, and she introduces herself to you, so that you get to know each other. At least to see each other. So if you have that initial attraction, then you might pursue it further. If not, then we're still on the safe side. You know, so it's again an introduction to marriage. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he recommended to Al-Mughir ibn Shu'bah to go and look at her. He said, did you see her? The Prophet, he said, no, Ya Rasulullah. Just because of her reputation, people talking about her, family members, they suggested her for him and so forth. So he said, go, انظر إليها. Go and look at her. Go and see her. فَإِنَّهُ أَحْرَى أَنْ يُؤْدَمَ بَيْنَكُمَا. Or probably would cause, of course, it makes it easier to last longer between you. Means if you see her and you get attracted initially before you get married, then you go and you propose officially, that would help, of course, this marriage to last longer. But if it's just because of her reputation, then when you get married, you see someone different, then might not, you know, help make this marriage successful. Also, Jabir, he said that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in this hadith, إِذَا خَطَبَ أَحَدُكُمْ مُرَأَةً فَإِنْ اسْتَطَاعَ أَنْ يَنْظُرَ مِنْهَا مَا يَدْعُوهُ لَنِكَاحِهَا فَلْيَفْعَلْ. If someone proposes to a lady, he should go and do his best to see her. Means to look at her, means see her in a way that attracts him to her. Then, of course, to get married to her, of course. So Jabir radiallahu ta'ala, literally he understood that and he took it literally. He said, فَخَطَبْتُ امْرَأَةً مِنْ بَنِي سَلَمَةً. And then I went and proposed for a lady from Banu Salama, the tribe of Salama. فَكُنْتُ أَخْتَبِئُ لَهَا. He said he used to hide for her. I mean hide behind trees, behind the wall, to see her while she was going, you know, to get the water, the grocery probably, stuff like that and so on. He said, حَتَّى رَأَيْتُ مِنْهَا بَعْضَ مَا دَعَانِ النِّكَاحِيَا. Until I saw what really attracted me to marry her. So it is okay to do so. And our ulama, they say it's ijma'. It is ijma'. It means unanimous agreement among Muslim scholars that the betrothal offer is a legal offer. And it's recommended, of course, as I said, permissible and recommended in some cases to do so. Wallahu a'lam. The wisdom behind this khutbah. Number one, to get acquainted with the proposing person. To get acquainted, which means, can be if you want to do it as number two, is to give you a clear-cut decision. About the status, of course, of the other party. Talking about the physical, probably the spiritual, mental, emotional, something like that and so on. Taking a good idea, of course, about specifically about the physical appearance of the other party. I mean, for example, you hear about a lady, mashallah, she's very nice, she's very religious, she's very beautiful, she's this and that and so on. You go and you propose, you don't see what you really imagine. Same thing, the sister would hear about a person. He's mashallah, he's a very religious person, he's very kind, he's intelligent, he's smart, he's this and that. When he comes, he doesn't really look like that. So you get to know each other. First of all, if you get, for example, stunned by the physical appearance, then probably the conversation might lead you to another attraction. And that's something natural. People, they don't have to get attracted to the physical appearance. Some people, they, as we said in the nature of love, as Ibn Hazm rahimahullah describes, some people would love to have, of course, the inferior probably characteristic over the superior one because they get attracted to that. So people, they have different ways of attraction and considering love and physical, of course, beauty. Wallahu a'lam. And usually they say that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So you see things others don't see. And that's something I cannot explain it to you. You have to experience it yourself. Wallah. Now, the categories of al-khitbah, the betrothal. We have, in the Arabic language, we call khitbatun bit-tasrih, and the second khitbatun bit-ta'rid. The first one, khutbah, the first one, it's explicit betrothal. It's explicit proposal. What does it mean? It means that you send, for example, your mother, or you send your father, talking to her father, saying that my son would like, or we would like to propose for your daughter, for our, for example, son, Muhammad, Hussein, Ahmed, this and that, and so on. So this is explicitly, you're proposing. Same thing, might be the opposite. A man who has his daughter, he sees, mashallah, a wonderful young man in the masjid or here in the university and so on, and he thinks that he would be a best match for his daughter. So he goes and he speaks to him. He says, listen, I have a nice daughter, inshallah, and I see that you're a really religious person, and I would love to, you know, have you as her husband. So he's proposing for him, of course, explicitly. So this is khutbatun bit-tasrih. We have implicit khutbah, betrothal. And those, of course, sending gestures and hidden words. This happens especially in the case of a widow in her iddah, in her waiting period. That's when the ayah suggested that. How would that happen? A woman in her iddah, a woman in her waiting period, you're not allowed to propose for her. No way. You cannot allow or propose to a woman in her waiting period, whether from a divorce or from, of course, from the death of her husband. You cannot propose for her. But in the case, the reason, of course, because in a woman in her waiting period because of divorce, she might still have a chance to return back to her husband. She's actually holding the status of a married woman. But a woman, a widow, there's no way she can get back to her husband. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed the implicit khutbah, proposal, during her waiting period, of course, just like give her a sense of comfort and solace. How would you do that? Al-ulama, they said that you do it with, of course, again, implicit words that do not apply directly a proposal or a marriage. Like, for example, someone says, when, for example, he helps this lady or this family. He says, well, you know what? MashaAllah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you, and you never know, maybe Allah is having something better for you in the future, very soon, something like that. Or probably this person, he sends gifts, for example. If, listen, I'm here, inshallah, if you need anything, I'll be more than happy to help you guys. You see? Now. Or maybe saying even more, actually, I would say direct word by saying, you know, I wish that really that I could marry a person, a woman like you, for example, something like that. But not necessarily saying, I want to marry you, or I'm proposing for you. You cannot do that. So those words give the lady, of course, a sense of, you know, comfort that, you know, alhamdulillah, that, you know, there are still people who are around there who are still interested, and they might, inshallah, be a good help for her in the future. Sometimes in some cultures, they have other also ways of proposal. You know, they say Qiraat al-Fatiha. Of course, say al-Fatiha. See? And then they recite Fatiha and then Alhamdulillah. That's it. So they say, are you married, guys? No, we just had the Fatiha. We recited the Fatiha. Okay, you do that every day in Salah. What's the difference? But this one is just a suggestion or a proposal for marriage. Some other cultures, they do it through gifts. So they send a lot of gifts. Trucks. You know, lot of gifts. All kinds of gifts, chocolates, mashallah, roses, stuff like that and so on. This is just to show their interest that we're proposing. Now some people, you know, don't click with them. Say, what's wrong with this guy? Why are you sending all those kind of gifts? But if it's culturally considered as a way of proposal, then it is legally also accepted. Wallahu a'lam. What is the effect of this engagement? The effect of the betrothal engagement. Is it considered a contract, a marriage contract, or what? Which means, what if the two parties after 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months, a year, and they were just engaged, legally, you know, just considered, basically just gave the promise to get married, and then they decide just to, break up probably, break off and so on. So what do you do? Do you say, no, guys, you're married, you have to go through the process of divorce? We say, no, it's not a contract. Legally, it's considered as a promise for marriage. Based on this definition, it's just only a promise of marriage. Number one, both parties will still be considered ajnabi. Legally, Islamic. When you say ajnabi over here, it means like foreigner. It means they are not yet mahram to each other. And when you say they are not mahram, what does that mean? Number two, they're not allowed to see from each other what a husband and wife can see. I mean, definitely they can, let's say, when they sit together, they're going to see their face, you know, the hands and so on. But is she allowed to take off her hijab in front of this person? We say not yet, because they're not yet married. She's not yet a mahram for her or husband. And number three, they have the right to revoke this proposal. Which means after, for example, 1 week, 2 weeks, the lady, she decides, you know what, he's not that person that I'm really looking for. And she calls him and said, forget it. But he says, no, you promised me. And you have to keep your promise. You cannot. You cannot enforce this proposal. And number four, also from the rulings of this betrothal, is that it will become haram. It becomes haram, not allowed for anybody else to propose over this proposal. It becomes haram, illegal, to propose over this proposal. For example, X goes and he proposes to, let's say, to Y. And then they say, well, mashallah, you're very nice and so on. Well, you know what? We're going to consider that, inshallah ta'ala. We're going to consider that, inshallah ta'ala, but just give us time until we prepare for the marriage and so on. Can Z come and propose to Y again? Say, you know what, they didn't really, you know, have the contract, so I'm still, you know, I have some time. And he goes and says, you know what, I'm better than him, I'm, mashallah, wealthier than him, I have better education, I have bigger house, I can make you this and that and so on. Is he allowed to do that? No. Except if they don't answer him positively. Which means he just proposed. He calls, he said, you know what, I'm interested, you know, I want to propose for your daughter. I'm really interested, inshallah ta'ala, and blah, 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 blah. Then they say, khair, inshallah, give us some time, we're going to think about it. We're going to just think about it. In this case, you're still allowed to go and propose if you want. A second person, a third person can propose. Because they did not give him an answer. But if they said, well, mashallah, that would be a great chance for us. Mashallah, we're very happy for this. And inshallah, let's you know, prepare for the day when you're going to come. And now here they gave him a positive answer. You're not allowed to go and propose. Until they decide on him, yes or no. If they decide yes, it's over. If they decide no, then you can come and propose. It happened during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Actually, this is the instruction of Rasulullah. He said, وَلَا يَخْطِبْ عَلَى خِطْبَةِ أَخِيهِ. Means one of the rights of the brothers, Muslims, for each other, is that you do not propose over his proposal. Until, of course, they give him the answer, yes or no. Plus, the Prophet ﷺ, one time, a lady came to him and she said, Ya Rasulullah, three people proposed for her at the same time. Which means what? She did not answer for anybody. They all came almost on the same time, that same period. So she was asking the advice of Rasulullah ﷺ to whom she should get married. And the Prophet ﷺ, he gave her, of course, his perspective of each person. Then she decides, actually the Prophet ﷺ didn't even agree on any of them, and he suggested another person for her. He said, this person would be much better for you. Ankih Zaydan is much better for you. Another probably way of allowing a second proposal is that if you get the permission from the first one, if the first person, he gave his proposal, and you see that he's having a hard time, you know, with the family, he would say, well, you know what, I really see that you have a hard time with them, and honestly, I'm interested also. I don't know, how long are you going to wait? I mean, if you allow me, I would like to propose also. And he says, you know what, go ahead, go and take your chance. If it works for you, good luck. For example, if not, then that's it. So in this case, if the first person allows the second one to go and propose, it will be okay. In many cases, this second scenario is probably hypothetical. In many cases. But it might happen. Wallahu a'lam. Unlawful engagement. Proposing to a married woman. If a person knows that a woman is already married, whether the marriage was consummated or not, and the consummation of marriage means it was effected. After the marriage, they had the wedding party and they lived together, for example. This is a consummated marriage. Or just a contact. They had the contact and they are considered legally a husband and wife. Can a person go and propose for that lady? No. The reason we're saying a person proposes to another lady, it's no, and we cannot say that a woman proposes to another man, because a man can marry more than one wife. So if the lady proposes for a married man already, and he's already married, it might be acceptable. But to propose, a man proposing to a married woman, that is illegal. The second, proposing to a woman who is in her iddah, waiting period. Whether this iddah, the waiting period, is from a final divorce or a non-final divorce. A non-final divorce is a divorce that happens, of course, the first divorce or the second divorce. You have the first divorce, second divorce, those are not final yet, which means during the waiting period, the husband and wife can reconcile and get back again to marriage easily. But there's no need for a new contract or whatsoever. They just simply can, by word, you know, reconcile and get back together. But from a final divorce, after the third divorce, she's not allowed to get back to him unless she marries someone else. However, she is still in her waiting period, and because, of course, that waiting period can extend if she would have, if she would appear to be a pregnant. So therefore, the person is not allowed to propose for her until she is free from that, from her period. A third also, and of course, for the widow, as we said, the widow, it's okay if you do an not explicit khutbah, but no, just try to offer, of course, an implicit word of proposal. And then also from the unlawful engagement proposal, proposing to a woman over another proposal, as we said. Someone that you know is already proposing, you don't go and jump into that marriage again, quickly. Wallahu a'lam. Any questions? We're coming to this, inshallah. This brother is asking about the level of interaction between two people in khutbah. We'll come to this. Sisters? Brothers? Proposing to a man of another proposal. That's a dangerous one. Allah alam, it would take the same ruling. It should take the same ruling. Because he's still in the process of proposing. I mean, if he was already married to the first one, it's over. He's married. He's allowed to marry another one. But now he's proposing to one, and probably he, in his mind, he doesn't have an intention to marry two or three wives. He just is interested in one wife. So now a second lady come proposing for him after knowing that he proposed to another lady, then I would say we'll take the same ruling, which means won't be allowed until he decides on it. Wallahu a'lam. Yes, sister. We'll come to the ways of how to propose for that, inshallah ta'ala. We'll discuss it. Brothers? Yeah. Yes. Recommended length of engagement. No specific, actually, recommendation. The faster the better, of course. The sooner the better. However, if people decide, of course, to prolong that period, it would be okay. But for them, they're gonna still, you know, they need to understand they're still considered, you know, non-mahram. Means they need to be careful with the way they interact with each other and so on. Until they decide on it. Wallahu a'lam. After they make what we call katbul kitab, which is the legal contract, even without consummating the marriage, then they can talk the way they want. Wallahu a'lam. Sisters. Yes. Proposal, khutbatun bit-tasrih, implicit, yeah, khutbatun bit-ta'rid, bit-ta'rid. Brothers, over here, go ahead. The obligation of announcing the proposal, we're going to come to this announcing marriage, inshallah. No, announcing marriage. This is, well, it's actually, you don't have to announce the proposal, but announcing the marriage is more important than that. If someone doesn't know that, you know, this lady is already actually engaged, and he goes and he proposes, that's another thing. He doesn't know. Allahu A'lam. Sisters, any question? Yes? We will come to this, inshallah ta'ala, when this happened. Usually the ulama, they say at least twice. Once before proposing, and the second after proposing. Why? Because when we say once before proposing, provided that genuinely he had an intention to propose to this lady. It's not that he's taking, you know, he's just taking chances. I'm going to try this one, try this one, try this one. Keep looking around. I mean, this doesn't work. Won't be acceptable. But if he decides on one specific lady, he goes and he of course, he takes that look. And then if he gets attracted, he's going to propose legally. And then he goes to have, of course, a close and situation where they can sit together. But to say, go and look around before you propose, no, we don't allow that. Allahu A'lam. The brothers, yes. We'll come to this, inshallah. The prearranged marriages? No, we'll discuss it later. Sisters, yes, over there. Well, I don't want to say it's bid'ah, because people, they don't use this as they actually... Because marriage contract is a contract. It's ada. So by itself, do you consider this as an act of worship or not? Primarily, it is not. It's a contract. And therefore, in adat, it's mubah. It should be acceptable, mubah. However, I would say, you know, there is really... no necessity to recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Instead of, we could use, of course, the khutbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruh, which people don't use, unfortunately, nowadays. But if they decide to do this as, you know, as the way of announcing or, you know, pronouncing the engagement, it is okay. Wallahu alam. I don't really consider this as bid'ah in this situation. Because it's, again, it's a contract. It's not, one of the acts of ibadah primarily. Nah. What if? Istikhara should be done only once. That is all. You don't do istikhara 10 times for the same person. Even what is worse than that, some people, they came to me and said, can you make istikhara for me? I said, ya akhi, you do your own istikhara. I can, you know, make dua for you, but to make istikhara for you on your behalf, I cannot do that. And the istikhara is seeking, of course, guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which means, for example, let's say someone tells you about an individual that he's, mashallah, he's very nice, gentle, whatever. Or someone, let's say, proposing for a lady, and she's not now, she's really worried about accepting the proposal or not. So what she does, she goes and she makes istikhara. By making wudu, praying two rak'ah, focusing on her salah, after she's done, she raises her hands, and make the dua of istikhara. Dua of istikhara, you can find it, inshallah, on the forums, if you want to go back to the forums. Or you can just search it on the internet, and you'll get it. So you make the dua, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance about this person, this individual. Same thing if one is proposing for a lady. Before he goes to propose officially, he just basically, he saw her and he just, you know, said, well, Allah, it seems, you know, to me okay to do that. But he goes and he makes his istikhara, prays to rak'ah, make his dua, and just wait for the answer. Waiting for the answer is not going to be actually a revelation coming with Jibreel alayhi salam. So you won't see Jibreel coming and saying, tazawwaj. Get married. Or no, it's not working for you. It can be a dream. It can be just, you know, subhanAllah, relaxation. Just if you relax, if you, you know, you feel attracted more. Even just facilitated things to you. That things are going, mashallah, smooth and nice. And there's no obstacle in the way. Think, it shows you that, you know, alhamdulillah, things are going well. So in this case, you consider this as a sign or a hint, you know, that it is okay to go forward for it. But if after proposal you feel things are not going very well, or probably obstacles on the way, and you feel your chest is like a load on your chest or your shoulders, you don't really feel comfortable with it. So just this is a sign for you that, you know, just to stay away from it. Do you have to follow your feelings? For example, if it was, let's say, if you feel that everything is going quickly and mashallah smooth, can you say, well, you know what, I don't like it. I'm going to quit. I just really don't think it's going very well like this. It's going too fast and I'm really worried about it. I mean, you don't have really to follow your istikhara, but this is a recommendation for you. Allah. Now we'll continue, inshallah, azawajal. We have a few more minutes. Conditions of a prospective bride. Legal conditions. We're not saying here what you're looking for. You're looking for, that's another thing for you. But legal conditions. Number one, to be free from any legal prohibitive. And that's specifically one thing that we talk about or discuss on this issue, which means not to be of his unmarriageable kin. Not to be of his unmarriageable kin. Means she shouldn't be his, one of his mahrams. Like his sister, for example, his daughter, his mother, his aunt, and so on. Number two, the second condition, to be free from any other engagement. To be free from any other engagement, whether she's already married, that's already an engagement actually, or in her waiting period. She should be free from those two things. Those are the primary conditions for a prospective bride. There are also other, probably not conditions, but recommendations. And they are not considered conditions. It means that they do not invalidate the contract. We're saying, when you say conditions over here, we're talking about conditions that invalidate the contract. Conditions that invalidate the contract. So if she was from his marriageable kin, then I will completely invalidate the contract. Or if she was in her waiting period or already engaged or married, that's of course invalidate the contract, if they propose. Now, characteristics of that prospective that spouse. And you say characteristics of a prospective spouse, you're talking about the ground on which you should base your selection of your spouse. We have spoken about the nature of love, how people get attracted to different qualities, different characteristics. Some people are more intellectual. So when they look for a spouse, they look into, you know, the level of their intellectuality, their mental level, how smart they are, how much are intelligent, things like that. Some people know, are emotional. So they're looking into romance. So they want to see how romantic this person can be, how much engaged in this emotional, you know, experience will be and so forth. Some other people know, they are spiritual. So they're looking for someone who's going to increase them in faith and iman. People, they have different perspectives of their spouse. What is the best or the ideal? That's what the Prophet ﷺ teaching us to look for. And here in this hadith, the desirable characteristics in a bride, where the Prophet ﷺ recommends for us in this hadith, تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعْ لِمَالِهَا وَحَسَبِهَا وَجَمَالِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا فَاظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ. That a woman may be married for four reasons. For her property, her status of course, means social, her beauty and her religion. So try to get one who is religious, may you be blessed. Which means the priority should be for the faith and for her religion. The reason, because, I mean, religion is something, it's a sacrifice. It's a great sacrifice. A woman doesn't sacrifice her beauty or sacrifice her, let's say, her social status or her wealth, because this is with her. Allah has given this for her. But for faith, it's a choice. To become a religious person, you have a choice in that. You don't have a choice of being beautiful or not. Unless you go, of course, to make a plastic surgery. You never know. It might not even be successful. But again, now, when it comes to faith and religion, you have a choice to be a religious person or non-religious person. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ recommends that for you. Why? Because if a person chooses this path of faith and religion, means they have done a lot of sacrifices to keep, of course, their life and their character upright. Beauty will disappear and vanish. Wealth and money doesn't last forever. Same thing with her social status. Allahu a'lam what happens to them. And it's not a big deal if people don't know who is she actually, or from which family she came from. So therefore the Prophet ﷺ said, look for that. Because religion will help you, of course, maintain an upright life. And of course, basically, when a person is religious and they always fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their relationship, they will always try to do the right thing and please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while behaving with you. So if she knows that, you know, looking nice and tidy and beautiful in front of you would please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and please you also, she would do that right away. If she knows that something like this annoys you, she would avoid that. Why? Because she doesn't want to feel guilty or, let's say, be under, of course, pressure of being acting, doing something sinful and so forth, because she's religious. She fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first place. Same thing with the man. The man, if he fears Allah azza wa jal, he's not going to be unjust with her. He's not going to abuse her. Because he knows that if the relationship is going to reach that level of abuse, then they better just, you know, separate. Wallahu a'lam. Here in this hadith, they were explained actually. So they say that the characteristics should be looked for, you know, desirable characteristics in a bride. The desirable characteristic in a bride, number one, ad-deen, faith. Which means when we say faith, we're talking also about manners. Faith and manners. I mean, subhanAllah, being religious, not necessarily being well-behaved. Some people, they have the knowledge of, you know, being religious, but they don't practice what they know. So therefore, their manners are not really the good manners. So when we say deen, we're talking about deen and also manners. Number two, they say to be fertile, which means she carries actually babies. She is well known for that. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, تزوج الولود الودود. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking this ummah to procreate and be the largest ummah on Judgment Day. How would you recognize that? I mean, how would you know that? From her family. And if the family is well known to have mashallah, to always carry, you know, twins and triplets and so on. So would you assume that, you know, it might help? I know families personally, mashallah, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, I mean, they have about 17 children from probably 7 pregnancies. One from 7 pregnancies. See? Alhamdulillah, that's not me, of course. No. Number three. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommends, of course, for young couples, they want to marry for the first time probably, of course, virginity. Whether in the side of a man or the woman. It means if a woman, she's going to get married to someone, it means a person who did not marry before. Same thing, if a person who's young, he wants to get married, another like a lady, he should also look for a lady who was not married before. That doesn't mean that, of course, you don't marry a divorcee, for example, or a widow and so forth. No, but for young couples, that's what the Prophet ﷺ recommends. However, if you have another recommendation for other circumstances, the Prophet ﷺ would say, Bismillah, go ahead, it's also acceptable. And this was mentioned in Hadith Jabir radiallahu ta'ala, which is inside Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet ﷺ, one time he saw Jabir, rushing to go to Medina before anybody else. They were coming back from a journey. So he said, what's wrong, Ya Jabir? You're in a rush. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I just got married, so I'm really, you know, rushing to meet my wife, see my wife. So he says, Bikran am Thayyib, means maiden, means a virgin or not. He said, no, Ya Rasulullah. He said, Halla Bikran tula'ibuha wa tula'ibuk. Why don't you then just marry now a maiden that you, so you can play with her, means, and she plays with you. Means basically, and that's why we said, if you remember about the purpose of getting married, it's just to take off the pressure of this life. You know, when you go back home, you act silly basically. So that's what the Prophet ﷺ was telling Jabir. Go and, you know, enjoy life with your spouse. He said, Ya Rasulullah, when my father died, he left 7 girls and he was the only male member of his family. So I said, I didn't want to marry, an 8th girl, would be just, you know, one of them. He said, I want a lady who is mature enough to help me with taking care of my sisters. So the Prophet ﷺ, he approved that, and he said, actually he made a dua for him, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him with that. Also number four, from the desirable, of course, characteristic of the bride, contentment. To be content means satisfied with whatever you have. She doesn't look to other people. And that's one of the main, one of actually for the reasons for many, many marital problems and the family discord. People, they come and they complain that their wives, they're always looking, you know, at other people's properties, what they have in hand, lifestyle, stuff like that and so on. And they want the same thing. You see, my cousin, my sister, why can't you do this? Why don't you do that? And so on. So if the lady was well known for being content, alhamdulillah, that she satisfied what she has, that would become, wallahi, like, yani na'im, paradise. Because she's happy with whatever you have, alhamdulillah, we're happy. And whatever you bring, that's the meaning of it. Whatever you bring at home, it will please her immediately. But if she's not, I mean, you cannot, for example, afford a gift for, let's say, $500, $1,000. So you go, you strive all week and all probably the whole month, and then at the end you go and you buy something, let's say, for $50. It was very nice, beautiful, was on sale, but that's what you could afford. And now you go very happy and proud of yourself. You give her that thing, and she looks at it and says, that's it? 75% off? And you say, how am I going to wear that? What am I going to tell the people when they see it? That's one of actually the reasons people, they have problems at home. So contentment from both parties is always, alhamdulillah, a ni'mah from Allah Azza wa Jal. Also, the man should be also content with his spouse, with his wife. I mean, don't expect too much. I'm telling you guys. Brothers and sisters, do not expect too much from your spouse. Be content and expect the average. If you get above the average, be happy. Because it's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 5, lineage. Her lineage means where she's coming from, her family. Again, her social status, the way the Prophet ﷺ said that, you know, people, they get married for the lineage. Why? Because you're looking for a noble descent, of course. Let's say, if you know that the lady, she's from al-Ashraf, Sharifa, which means she belongs to the family of Rasulullah ﷺ. It's a great honor to engage to them, of course. However, what if she was Sharifa, but unfortunately, she wasn't practicing? What does that help you? Nothing. So, of course, always have faith above everything. Beauty. Number 6. Beauty. And again, it's a relative issue. It is a relative issue. When I say beauty, I mean, I know most people, they think about, you know, mashallah. Hur al-Ain, al-Jannah. Same thing with the sisters. When they think about beauty, they think about Yusuf alayhi salam. I mean, Yusuf alayhi salam, he lived his life, and that was only one individual. So always look into, of course, other qualities. You need to compromise when it comes, of course, to select your spouse at the end. And number 7, also, before actually the final one, number 7, that she, the age difference. There should be enough age difference between the husband and wife. And we say, of course, age difference, we give the advantage to the man. So the man should be older enough than his wife. It doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, it won't be successful marriage if the wife was older than the husband, because the Prophet ﷺ married Khadija, and it was one of those remarkable, actually, love and marital life in the history of Islam. But they say because this will help, of course, maintain al-qiwama, the guardianship. It will maintain it, and that's one of the reasons of successful marriages. And the last one, but not the least, khiffatul mahar, the easy mahar, easy dowry. We're not saying cheap, we're saying easy. Means if you go and propose and they ask for a dowry, like in some countries, without mentioning where they actually ask for their stuff, but they ask for thousands of dollars. And not just even for the bride. They say, the father, he needs a new truck. The brother, he needs a sports car, probably. Her sister needs this and that and so on. The mother needs blah, blah, blah. So they can't have $1 million to marry her. And then in the end, the guy, he just keep waiting and waiting and waiting for 5 years to collect all this stuff. And then he gives up. I know an individual, actually, was my roommate. His brother. He engaged, and subhanAllah, it was even, was from another, actually, from another tribe. So when he proposed, they suggested for him items that reached up to almost, I would say, $100,000. And the guy was only a soldier in the army. I mean, he can barely survive. But because they do that, and they go and they seek help, and they have organizations to help, you know, help them with their dowries and all the stuff and so on. After 1 year, he just gave up, and he couldn't take it anymore. And for this, my friend, actually, that my roommate, he got married for, and if we record that, we have to take this off, of course. Actually, he got married for what was about, probably, I would say, $30,000. And he was very happy that he married for $30,000. I said, are you happy that you're married and you're paying that much money, you know, for marriage as a dowry? He said, alhamdulillah. You know, the reason they accepted that, he said, because she's an orphan and she's my cousin. I said, subhanAllah. I mean, if she was an orphan, even her father probably would ask him to pay even $500,000 because she was his cousin. So I mean, people, they try to abuse al-muhar concept and principle, thinking that if you have a higher muhar, a higher dowry, it means that, you know, you're going to tie the guy and he will never think of divorce. But you don't know that can be a cause of a miserable life for both of them, especially for the lady, because he's going to force her to go for khula, that she would pay him a ransom so he could get away and just leave that marriage. Wallahu. So the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to get married, very simple actually marriage, inshallah ta'ala, with an easy mahar. Wallahu a'lam. Okay, inshallah ta'ala, we take a break, because there are also some other people waiting outside, and we come back again, inshallah.